This is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of Ephesians. Now, here's Pastor Sandy in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, with part 1 of his message entitled, A Parent's Purpose.
In this past year, nearly 8 million people in this country took a giant step in their lives. They brought a baby into the world. They became parents. But how many of those 8 million people were prepared for parenthood is an entirely different matter. Take, for example, the man that was left in charge of his infant son while his wife went to the store. When the young lady returned, she found her son crying and the husband sweating. He was at a loss for what to do. She walked up to the crib and instantly detected the problem. One whiff, and she realized that the kid's diaper needed to be changed. It had been filled several times over. She moaned, "Honey, why didn't you change his diaper?" Well, the new dad, he held up a box of disposable Huggies and he pointed to the print on the package. It read, "Well, it says right here, good for up to 10 pounds. Hey, not all dads, or moms for that matter, are prepared for the rigors and challenges of being a parent. And I have no room to laugh. When my daughter Natalie was just a few weeks old, Kathy went out with friends and left me at home with Natalie. It was bedtime and my little girl was hungry, and so I fed her 8 ounces of that sweet-tasting Similac. Gave her her complimentary burp. We prayed together. I tucked my little princess into bed. Settled down in front of some Monday night football when all of a sudden I heard these terrible, terrible sounds coming from her room. Gagging, gurgling noises. I rushed back to discover that Natalie had thrown up all 8 ounces of the formula. I cleaned up my daughter, put fresh sheets on the crib. Then I walked into the kitchen, still puzzled over what in the world did I do wrong. That's when I saw the can sitting on top of the garbage. Words were written on the label that I had never seen before. It said, "Concentrated, must add water." I had given my little girl 8 ounces of undiluted 100-proof Similac, the equivalent of 32 ounces of baby formula. If babies could sue for parental malpractice, she would have. Hey, entering the hospital to birth a baby is a thrilling new deal. But bringing that baby home from the hospital can be a chilling ordeal. All kinds of self-doubts arise in your mind. Am I ready for the responsibility? Am I prepared to tackle these challenges? Do I have the wisdom and the know-how to be a good parent? Here's a spoof I ran across entitled, "Preparation for Parenting." Supposedly, if you really want to prepare yourself to be a parent, here's what you should do. First, go to the supermarket. Arrange for your salary to be paid directly to the cashiers for the next 18 years. Buy a newspaper, then read it for the last time. To discover how nights are spent as a parent, walk around the living room from 5 to 10 p.m. carrying a wet bag weighing approximately 8 to 12 pounds. At 10 p.m., put the bag down. Set the alarm for midnight. Go to sleep. Get up at midnight and walk around the room again with the wet bag until 1 a.m. Put your alarm on for 3 a.m. Since you can't get back to sleep, wake up at 2 a.m. Pour yourself a glass of milk. Go to bed at 2:45 a.m. Get up at 3 a.m. when the alarm goes off. Sing songs in the dark until 4 a.m. Put the alarm on for 5 a.m. Get up, make breakfast, keep this up for 5 years, look cheerful. Here's how to practice dressing your child once he's born. Buy an octopus in a bag. Attempt to put the octopus in the bag so none of its arms hang out. To practice grocery shopping with a child in tow, go to the market with a fully grown goat. Buy your groceries and don't let the goat out of your sight. Pay for everything that the goat eats or destroys. And here's how to practice feeding your 12-month-old. Hollow out a melon. Make a small hole in the side. Hang it from the ceiling on a rope. Swing it from side to side. Now get a bowl of soggy oatmeal and attempt to spoon it into the swaying melon by pretending to be an airplane. Continue until half the oatmeal is gone. Tip the rest of the oatmeal into your lap, making sure lots of it falls on the floor. And that's just preschoolers. Wait until they become teenagers. Hey, I'll let you in on a little secret. Nobody is really prepared to be a parent. Parenting requires lots and lots of on-the-job training. In fact, it's been said, parenting is the one job where by the time you're experienced at it, you're unemployed. And yet all the feelings of inadequacy don't make the job any less important. Hey, ready or not, you're a parent. And as a parent, you are shaping the world you'll live in and the one you'll leave behind. You're impacting the future of this world by how you treat your child. A parent has enormous power and incredible responsibility. When you pick up your baby, you realize you're holding unlimited potential in your arms. Louis Pasteur put it this way: when I approach a child, he inspires in me two sentiments, tenderness for what he is and respect for what he may become. One Sunday morning at church, we had a heckler. A lady just couldn't believe that I would make the suggestion that a mom's top priority should be to raise her kids. I didn't realize such an idea was so inflammatory. But in the middle of the service, she jumps right up and she starts shouting at me, "Well, you just stay home and clean those smelly diapers." Well, it just so happened that the day before I had. Kathy had taken the day off and she'd left me with our baby. And from the pulpit, I looked that woman straight in the eye and I said, "That is exactly what I did yesterday, and it is the most strategic job on earth." That child with the messy diapers might just be the world's next great evangelist, or the scientist who uncovers the cure for cancer, or the next evil dictator. And the direction he takes largely depends on my input. It went so well, somebody accused me of actually staging the whole event and planting her in the audience. Not so. But it's true. Parents, you're part of a special power block working behind the scenes of the world to shape man's destiny. Well, my parenting days are now come and gone. My youngest son is 22 years old. Once I was asked if I had it to do all over again, would I do the job differently? And of course I would. Good grief, I'm wiser at 56 than I was at 25. But I will say this, I couldn't have given my parenting any more effort. I can honestly say I left it all on the field. I could have done better, but I couldn't have tried harder. You don't always realize it when you bring that baby home from the hospital, but a parent's time to influence their child is limited. You blink and boom, it's gone. Well, for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about parenting. And before I start, I want to issue the disclaimer that I always give when I speak on this subject. Here it is. When it comes to kids, there are no guarantees. I'm going to say that again. When it comes to kids, there are no guarantees. And this isn't because God isn't powerful, or that prayer isn't effectual, or that the Bible isn't infallible. It's because your kids are human, and all humans have a free will. As parents, we do our best. We try to be wise. But at the end of the day, our child has to decide how he or she will live their life. Like it or not, this is the way God made it. Reminds me of country singer Barbara Mandrell. Barbara was a devout Christian and a conscientious mother. When her son Nathan was an infant, she would sing to him often. She sang him three songs as he was a baby. She sang him, "Jesus Loves Me," "This Is the Day the Lord Has Made," and "Jesus Loves the Little Children." And Barbara always wondered which of those three songs Nathan would sing first. It was none of the above. In fact, to her disappointment, she says the first song she heard little Nathan sing was the tune, "All My Exes Live in Texas." Well, all parents need to understand that there are no guarantees when it comes to raising kids. I mean, think of God Himself. He was the perfect father, and yet both His kids, Adam and Eve, still rebelled. I mean, God did everything right, yet His kids took a wrong turn. Once there was a mother, she was hurried, she was hassled. She had dinner guests arriving soon. It was her husband's family, and she wanted to make a good impression. At dinner that night, she told her little girl to ask the blessing. Of course, her daughter was intimidated. "Mommy, what do I say?" Well, this mom should have just left it alone right there. But she was hoping to impress her dinner guests with one of those sweet, precious prayers that her daughter often prayed. And so she said, "Honey, just say the last prayer you heard Mommy pray." The little girl bowed and said, "Oh, Lord, why in the world did I invite all these people over for dinner?" I mean, with kids, you never know what to expect. Parenting is a risky, scary proposition. When you sign up for the task, you realize things can go wrong here. I mean, the world we live in is a wicked place. Predators roam the streets. Temptation abounds. Our kids grow up surrounded by snares that we can't control. Satan attacks from the outside. Sin pulls from the inside. There comes a point when parents can no longer control their children's circumstances, and it's up to the child to make wise choices. And when that time comes, some mistakes are inevitable. As I said, when it comes to raising kids, there are no guarantees. But here's what I can promise you, parents. When a parent consults the Bible and adopts God's purpose, and parents with God's power, the odds increase dramatically that your kid will turn out okay. In so doing, it's far more probable that your child will know God and walk with God and even live to glorify God. Here's the good news. God hasn't left us in the dark. We're not on our own. God is the perfect Father. He is the one parent who does know what He's doing, and He's given us insights to make our parenting effective. Here in Ephesians 6, we find that the first four verses contain Paul's principles for parenting. Verses 1 through 3 set out the purpose of a parent, and then verse 4 addresses the do's and don'ts. Let's read our text together, beginning in verse 1. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth." And then he says to parents, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Here's how we're going to break down these four verses. This week, we're going to discuss a parent's purpose. Next week, we'll look at a parent's tools. And then finally, we'll note a parent's avoidances. And there's a method to my madness. You're the parent. I'm the teacher. Together we have this association that makes for a PTA. A parent-teacher association. And here's our outline. P is for purpose. T is for tools. And A is for avoidances. It's a PTA. And this morning, we're going to start with a parent's purpose. Have you noticed that some people are parents by default? I mean, just having a kid doesn't make you a real parent. What makes a parent is a God-given purpose. C.R. Snyder, he writes of two dads on two separate airplane flights that he happened to observe. First was Jenny and her dad. Snyder figured that Jenny was about 3 years old. It was her first flight. And the dad was as excited about it as Jenny. He explained that the loud noises were coming from the engines. As the force of the takeoff pushed them back in their seats, Dad whispered, "Honey, I'll hold your hand." It was obvious that she trusted him wholeheartedly. In fact, this dad turned the whole trip into a learning experience. But Snyder tells of another flight and a different parent and child. Teddy, too, was about 3 years old. And after Dad buckled him in, he ordered him, "Now sit there and be quiet. Daddy's going to sleep." And sleep he did for the entire flight. At times, the little boy was noticeably frightened. But Dad was oblivious to his fears. The slumbering dad ignored his child's thoughts, his needs, his questions. No words or touches were exchanged. In a real sense, Teddy was flying alone. You see, just because you sit next to the seat, in the seat next to your child at breakfast, just because you sleep in the room down the hall from your child, that doesn't mean that your child isn't flying alone. Parenting needs to be intentional and deliberate. All parents need a purpose. And we find that purpose here in Ephesians chapter 6. In verse 1, Paul gives two commands to children. They're to obey and honor their parents. And then he provides two reasons for these two commandments. First, obedience makes sense. Notice, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Hey, this is just the right thing to do. Generally speaking, parents are much wiser than their kids. A parent has been around the block a time or two. He or she knows stuff that the kid doesn't. Why should a kid learn everything the hard way? You see, obeying your parents just makes sense. And then the second reason for a child to obey is that it carries with it a promise. Paul writes in verse 1, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Hey, a child who obeys and honors his parents will probably live longer and live better. God is the only person who loves that child more than his parents. Thus, a child will minimize their dangers in life and maximize their enjoyments just by listening to their mom and dad. Proverbs 30, verse 17 is a favorite verse of mine. It should be every father's favorite verse. In fact, parents should teach this verse to their children, especially when those kids become teenagers. Here's a great verse for a testy teen. "The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it." What a great verse for a teenager. When your kid bucks and kicks and rebels, warn them, they better stay inside the house. If you don't obey your parents, you could be walking down the sidewalk and a flock of birds land on you and knock you to the ground and start picking out your eyeballs. If it happens to you, son, don't say I didn't warn you. Every time a bird flies over the head of a rebellious teenager while swooping down on the kid and pecking out his eyes from its sockets, God is showing that child mercy. Of course, I'm being a little facetious here. But the correct interpretation of this proverb makes the same point. It's really saying that a rebellious child is prone to make foolish and costly mistakes. And as a result, that child could die at a young age. And having so alienated the people who once loved them, there might be no one left to give them a decent burial. And so in ancient times, they would just throw his carcass out as food to the vultures. But the point of the interpretation is the same, is it not? You'll live longer and you'll live better if you obey your parents. There's one other reason why kids should obey their parents. We learn to obey and honor God by first obeying and honoring our parents. It's a picture. You see, God uses our relationship with our parents to deepen our relationship with Him. I mean, how can a person submit to God, an authority they can't see, if they're unable to submit to the authority that they can see, their parents? Loads of people today have a hard time obeying God because they never learned obedience to their parents. I view my children's obedience to me not as an end in itself. I'm not some power-hungry parent on an ego trip. I've never bullied my kids just so I could feel like I was in control. No, I love my kids. With all my heart, I love them. And I always saw their obedience and respect toward me as the first step toward them learning how to obey and respect the Lord. On the surface, Ephesians 6 verses 1 through 3 are instructions addressed to children, not parents. But I take these verses as also verses that communicate a parent's purpose. I mean, if a child is supposed to obey and respect, then shouldn't a parent's job be to teach them how to obey and respect? To me, this is foundational. The purpose of a parent is to teach their children obedience and respect. Understand, obedience and respect for one's parents are not traits that come naturally to us. Obedience and respect have to be taught and instilled and insisted upon. And thus, the obligation that God places upon children becomes the purpose of their parents. Again, the job of every parent is to teach their kids obedience and respect. Feeding, clothing, protecting, educating, training, entertaining your child are all part of parenthood. But parent, if you're not teaching your child obedience and respect, you're not doing the job. A parent's primary purpose is not to win their kid's friendship or make their kid happy. It's to teach that child obedience and respect. And that's true if your child is 15 months old or 15 years old. God puts no statute of limitations on his command. Obedience and respect should be lifelong traits. Now, it's impossible to be the parent that God desires you to be until you realize a basic truth, and that is this: your kids are little sinners. They are born rebels. They exit the womb defiant and self-centered. You don't teach a baby to cry when it doesn't get its way. I have four kids, and laboratory findings reveal selfishness is a natural trait. Recently, I ran across an instructive document. It's entitled Property Law from a Toddler's Perspective. Law number one: if I like it, it's mine. Law number two: if I can take it away from you, it's mine. Number three: if I had it a while ago, it's mine. Number four: if I say it's mine, it's mine. Number five: if it looks like mine, it's mine. Number six: if I say I saw it first, it's mine. Number seven: if you're having fun with it, it's mine. Number eight: if you lay it down, it's mine. And lastly, if it's broken, it's yours. Hey, when kids are born, they have no respect for other people, nor are they willing to obey standards that limit their behavior. Children are greedy and selfish and totally preoccupied with three people: me, myself, and I. Parents, your children are sinful little buzzards. Now, granted, this may not be obvious at first. I mean, you bring that newborn home, and he or she looks so cute and so precious and innocent and tender and adorable. But you got to know that deep down inside, your baby is in reality a diabolical, ruthless, sinister sinner dressed incognito.
Being on the go is something we're all accustomed to in this culture. The hustle and bustle of life seems to make the days just fly by. For most of us, our smartphones are sort of an extension of our bodies, constantly ringing and dinging, telling us where to be and what the next appointment is. The technology that we enjoy in this day and age is amazing. And while there's certainly no end to the bad things we can find online and through our smartphones, there's also some great kingdom-minded options. We'd like to invite you to download the Sandy Adams mobile app. Our mobile app is available for iPhone, Android, and Windows smartphones. Or log on to sandyadams.org and simply click on the link from the main menu. When you download the app, you'll be able to listen to the most recent messages taught by Pastor Sandy, browse the series archive, and search the archive alphabetically. Finally, when you download the mobile app, you'll also have the opportunity to join us live for our Sunday morning worship service right from your smartphone. Again, to download the Sandy Adams mobile app, simply enter Sandy Adams in the search options of your smartphone's app store, or log on to sandyadams.org and simply click on the mobile app option right on the homepage. And please join us again as Pastor Sandy continues teaching through the Bible right here on Sandy Adams Radio.